dying to live. There are many people tonight who are dying to do many things. There are many people who are dying to serve Christ in the flesh. There are many people tonight who are dying to be someone else. But you know, you cannot be the kind of person that God wants you to be until you have discovered the secret of dying to live. I found this secret 2 a.m. Good Friday morning, 1961, on the veranda of Manly District Hospital. I'd been a Christian a while. I'd given my life to Christ. Oh, I was still smoking cigarettes. I was still using filthy language. I was still lying and scheming and cheating. And you know, if I hadn't have learned what God wanted me to learn regarding dying to self, I perhaps would have been in the ministry all these years, still lying, still scheming, still cheating, still dying to serve Christ in the flesh, and having no real ministry. And all of those years would have been wasted because I would have never discovered who I am. Oh, I know who I am. You see, in 1961, I was taken by ambulance from my home, and I was dying, literally, physically dying. I was bleeding to death. And I can always remember the man in the theater saying to me when they were giving me the needle, the anesthetic needle, he said, "Son, I don't think you're coming back." That's how bad the bleeding was. I was bleeding at the mouth and in other places. I was dying. And an emergency operation was performed. I was strapped to a bed for 4 days and 4 nights, and my life lay in the balance. And then I was allowed to get up and walk around a little. But you know, God had a wonderful plan, because 3 days before I came home to my wife and to my children, He brought into that hospital a man, a lovely Christian man, dying with leukemia. And He placed that man 4 beds away from where I was sleeping. I listened to that man pray and ask God to take him home. He knew that the leukemia that he had was the terminal type. I watched the serenity in the face of his wife. And as I looked at her face, I saw Jesus as I'd never seen him before. I saw the real Christ in this man. He was free. He was free. And I can remember, and I wasn't even trained then. I had a bad speech impediment. I hadn't done my speech therapy. I hadn't learned to read and write. I didn't even know what the Bible taught, because I couldn't read it. My wife used to read the Bible passages and pray with me. But I knew this. That man knew Christ, and he was free. And I discovered the secret 2 a.m. Good Friday morning, 1961, when a cigarette that I had lit and perhaps had 2 puffs of fell out of my mouth. I discovered a secret that I'm going to share with you tonight. And I trust tonight that God the Holy Spirit will set you free. Because if you happen to be set free tonight, you'll be free. You'll be the kind of person that God wants you to be. You'll learn all about those wonderful things you've been taught over the weekend, the emotions to love. But when you're free, you're free. And you know, I've been around many churches in Australia, and I have seen many people bound. I've seen them in Baptist churches. I've seen them in Anglican churches. I've seen them in the charismatic churches. They're bound. They're not free, because they don't know who they are. And I would dare to say, by the grace of God tonight, that many of you don't know who you are, or you think you do. But let me ask you the question. Are you satisfied with life the way you are living it? Do you long for a quality of life above the standard that you have reached at this present stage in your life? If so, have you ever realized that the secret of life and all its fullness is through the process of death? Indeed, all life comes out of death. This is true in the vegetable realm, it's true in the animal realm, and it's supremely true in the spiritual world. I want to ask you tonight, have you been to your own funeral? I have. I went to my funeral, 2 a.m., Good Friday morning, 1961. And you know, I cried as I had never cried before when I saw a person die, that had to die in order that I, the real person, could live. Oh, you're beginning to think now, wonder what he's going to teach us tonight. Well, you know, I'm not charismatic. You know, I don't belong to that movement. I'm going to teach you what the Word of God wants you to hear. Because when you go to your own funeral, you've died to self. And many of you are not yet even dead. And this is what Paul is talking about when he wrote to the church at Colossae. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Paul is saying in simple language, if you want to live, you must die. You see, Paul is talking about those of us who are living here on this earth. Now the word mortify, of course, brings one body under control, all the passions. Doesn't bring your emotions under control. It helps to do that. But it brings your passions, your lust, and your pride under control. In other words, into subjection by self-denial, by discipline. The word mortify in the Greek is a very interesting word. It comes from the word nekros, which means dead, corpse. And it means literally to put to death. And the NIV translation of the word there in Colossians is correctly translated. The first thing I want to talk about tonight is this, our position in Christ. Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, and mortify therefore your members. Paul's method is to argue from the greater to the lesser. And Paul consistently seeks to show what a Christian is before demonstrating how he should behave. And Paul insists that the Christian must know his position in Christ before he or she asserts his or her prerogatives in Christ. Now, it's very interesting that Paul uses the word called therefore in the scripture. He uses it a lot. And every time you see that word, you ought to ask yourself the question, what is it there for? Of course, it always refers to that which has happened or that which has passed. Now, here in this passage of scripture, it takes us back to the beginning of the chapter, to our position in Christ. In verse 3 of chapter 3, the word says, we are justified. Now, I wonder how many people really understand that. I've had a great week preparing this message. You know, I've even found out this week where the great reformers went off the track. And that's warmed my heart. I've always thought that Calvin couldn't have been God. And he was wrong. And so was Luther. And so was Swinley. And so can you and I be until we've learnt to die to self. You see, the death referred to here relates to the believer's position and therefore means the basis of justification, because justification establishes our position in Christ. Now, in this position, we are partakers of His righteousness and are therefore considered as if we had never sinned. Do you know what it is to be dead with Christ? Are you truly justified? You know, the scripture teaches that every believer is positioned in Christ and therefore justified, but not every believer understands this because not every believer has yet died. Not every believer has been to their own funeral service. And in verse 1, Paul describes us as risen with Christ, seated with Christ. And then in verse 3, he says, hidden with Christ. Now, any person who accepts his place in death through the cross of Christ enters once into union with Christ in his resurrection. And the resurrection life is a life which is sanctified for those risen with Christ and who are seated with Christ. You see, the seated ministry of Christ is the high priestly ministry of our Lord. For it is written of Him in Hebrews 10, of verse 11 and 12, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And as our high priest, Christ ever intercedes for us before the throne of God in all the virtue of His atoning work. And by this ministry we are kept clean And so a person who has risen with Christ, seated with Christ, and hidden with Christ is truly sanctified in position. Is this true of you? Can you say, like many saints of old have said, I die daily? But we are not only risen, we are not only seated with him, but hidden with him. But verse 4 of Colossians 3 says, when Christ, who is our life, notice that, we're living once we've died to self, Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What person's going to appear with him? The person who was saved from their sin, or the person who died to self? You see, this is a future event, admittedly, but in terms of personal experience, Paul speaks of it as already accomplished. In Romans 8, Paul says, whom he, Christ, justified, them he, Christ, also glorified. This positional truth has already taken place when you die to self. You see, this is the goal and destiny of the Christian, and his position in Christ guarantees such a consummation. And Christ, who is our life, who is now ignored or rejected by the world, and indeed rejected by many who profess to be Christians, will one day be revealed in a blaze of glory. And all the wonder of our justification, our sanctification, and our glorification will be manifested. And beloved, unless you know who you are going to be on that day, you have not as yet died to self. You have not yet attended your own funeral. Now, point two, Paul tells us how to assert our prerogatives in Christ. Verse 5, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And Paul amplifies this statement to show what are the prerogatives of the man or woman who is positioned in Christ. I want you to have a close look at verse 8 and verse 10. But now ye also put off all these. Anger, he's talking about the flesh here. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Paul is saying destroy the old life. Have a funeral service and die to self. You see, the word mortify is a Latinized word. It's a Latinized term, which means to put to death or to make a corpse. In German, which I love because of the German blood in me, it's even stronger. In German, it means to kill. And those great reformers, unfortunately, missed that great biblical truth. So don't ever follow a man. Don't ever follow me. I'll come back and haunt you if you do. Learn what the Bible teaches and follow Christ, the author of the Bible. Among those things that are sentenced to death are such activities as fornication, mentioned 47 times in the New Testament, which has to do with immorality, sometimes sexual, sometimes not. Uncleanness, which has to do with impurity. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Oh, I wished I could be a good preacher. I wished I could sing like so-and-so. I wished I could play the organ like somebody else plays. And I hear these people every day saying this. And they'll go on, if only. And they'll never know who they are. And along with these, Paul lists the words of the old life, anger, which indicates a feeling of hatred, and wrath, which is an outburst of uncontrolled temper. malice which has the suggestion of wicked gossip. And let me tell you, he goes on to say that blasphemy, which denotes the taking of God's name in vain and the slandering of one's fellow man. Filthy communication, which includes every form of foul talk, and lying, which represents the distortion of truth. And may I say that it is fair to say that many Christians are experts at distorting the truth until they die to self. Now, Paul argues that because of our position in Christ, we are to assert our prerogatives in destroying the old self in all the manifestations of his works and words. But this cannot be done in our own strength. Now, at this point, I want you to listen very carefully, because this could be the very moment that you attend your own funeral service. I want you to listen to what Paul says in Romans 8:13. Because therein lies the answer. And again, the great reformers missed it. John Calvin, with all of his brilliance, missed it. Martin Luther, with a great intellectual mind that was his, missed it. Don't follow a man. Follow Christ. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die spiritually. But if ye through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, do mortify, that is, put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live spiritually. And then verse 14 of Romans 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Beloved people, as we rely on the person, the work, and ministry of the Holy Spirit to put to death the old self, we know victory, so that the life of Jesus Christ manifests itself through our behavior patterns. God's Spirit dwells within us at the moment of eternal salvation for the express object of being called upon by us to put to death the doings of the body. When our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died there as the sacrificial lamb for the sins of humanity. He died there in order that the fullness of the Holy Spirit would be released to do a ministry here on this earth. And when you became born again and the Holy Spirit indwelt you, the great work that the Holy Spirit did in bringing you to Christ was to convict you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. But the moment that you were born again, the ministry of the Holy Spirit from that moment onwards is to deal with the great doctrine of mortification. The reformers called it vivification and missed the biblical truth. Beloved, some days I sit at my desk and I cry, literally cry, and I say, oh God, what am I doing in Mount Gravatt? Because I wonder how many of you listen to what I preach. And you know, I have to die to self when I ask that question. You see, at this point, let us also remember that self-control is one of that sweet cluster called the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. In simple language, God says, ye shall live if ye by the Spirit put to death the doings of the body, that is, the passions, the lust, the pride. But he says, if ye live according to the flesh, you are about to die. How long have you been spiritually dead? You see, to be led by the Spirit does indeed involve the surrender of our wills to God. However, while it is indeed God who works in us even to will, yet it is true that walking in the Spirit is still our own choice. If ye by the Spirit put to death the doings of the body, that is, the Holy Spirit is infinitely ready, but God leads rather than compels. Are you willing to die to self? Are you willing for the Holy Spirit to put to death the deeds in your body? Are you willing tonight to be mortified by God the Holy Spirit?
Galatians 5:16 says,
if we live by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Galatians 5:24, 25 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. May I point out that dying to live is not just a crisis, but rather a process. Every time these words or works of the flesh emerge from the place of death, they must receive another slaying stroke from the Spirit. And the process of dying to live will go on until the final day of our redemption. But meanwhile, it is possible to know instantaneous victory by the mortifying power of the Holy Spirit. But I must tell you this, that the Holy Spirit will only act on your behalf when you demonstrate your volitional and practical support of His ministry of mortification. In simple language, if we are convinced that these things Paul is talking about are wrong, we must determine that they should die, thereby making no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, as he speaks of in Romans 13:14. Do you want to die to self tonight? Oh, someday other people are going to attend your funeral. I always tell people, don't send the flowers when they die. Send them while they're alive. See, Paul says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth and put on the new man. The new man is both created in Christ and characterized by Christ. Because a believer is created in Christ, he is not subject to any kind of distinction or discrimination. For the new man is neither Greek or Jew, neither circumcised or uncircumcised, neither barbarian or Scythian, neither bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The new man is characterized by Christ, because he is dressed in the pure garments of the Savior's perfections, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, and forbearance. And for those garments, the new man is to add love, which is the bond of perfection. And Paul says that in Colossians 3:14. And by the same Holy Spirit who indwells us, we are to display this new life. Paul puts it in similar words when he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, since the function of the Holy Spirit is not only to destroy the old life, but to display the new life, we must walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, as Galatians 5:16 teaches. Now, in order to walk in the Spirit, we must live in the Spirit. Do you live in the Spirit? To live in the Spirit, we must daily be filled with the Spirit. And you can't be filled when you're already full of self. Do you know what it is to assert your prerogatives in Christ? You see, this is God's purpose for every truly committed Christian. Indeed, this is the outcome of dying to live. But then the Bible teaches a lot more. It says that we should accept our position in Christ. Mortify therefore your members, and let the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. The verb reign here is very exciting because it means to act as an umpire, or to arbitrate, or to decide. Whenever circumstances arise to indicate that the believer is not living in the joy and victory of his or her position and exercising their prerogatives in Christ, there will be no peace. Instead, there will be anxiety, perplexity, and there will be defeat. But when the old man is destroyed and the new man is being displayed, there will be that inner harmony and the reign of peace. And this is not only true of the individual Christian, but it is also true of the church. You can always tell when a church is not living in victory. There is unrest, and the manifestations both of the works and the words of the flesh are so very real. So the first evidence that we have died to self is peacefulness. If you get up tomorrow morning and everything goes haywire in your life, you don't have the peacefulness of God. And if you try to live a lie, you'll never have the peacefulness of God.